This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, don't die.
I'm on Skype.
Hey!
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 Hey, is everybody, can everybody hear okay?
Yep.
I hear good.
I think you mean you hear well.
No, I hear good. I hear very good.
So I'm hosting, and if everybody could please make sure that they are recording on their end.
Yes.
Please and thank you. I think we should be good.
Beep boop.
Let's see. Hi everybody.
Hello. Hi Marlon.
Hi.
This was weird to not have Alex's energy here.
It's
true.
Should we button it up?
Yeah.
You know what? We had a good run.
It's nothing to talk about, really. I mean, everything's fine.
Let's see. My uvula is swollen again, so I got a lot going on.
Oh, that's never fun.
What's everyone's current panic level about coronavirus?
Threat level purple?
Threat level midnight.
Are you really? You're pretty unconcerned, Merlin.
I mean, you guys go. What the fuck am I gonna do? What the fuck am I gonna do about literally anything? Well, I'm gonna tear myself apart. I'm gonna tear myself apart for the rest of my life about everything. No. I'm going to drink this water. I'm going to wait for my uvula to stop being swollen and hanging over the back of my tongue like a tremendous meat loogie. And then I'm going to go on with business as usual is what I'm going to do.
I'm freaking out.
BAU. Oh, are you? Why are you freaking out, buddy? Didn't you get a phone soap?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm
How's
using
that
it.
Working out for you?
I'm using it right now.
I put my Imodium in there, and they are so fucking sanitized right now. It's fucking lit.
I'm worried. I think it's.
It cleans your phone, Don.
I'm reading. I'm reading these like tweet threads from you know doctors in Italy.
Oh, did you see the one about triage?
Yeah,
and it's
really
good.
It's. I mean, what am I worried about? Like, I'm worried that basically
it took 35 tweets to say, if you're old, you're gonna die. That was basically it. If you're old, you're going to die. If you need to be in the ICU, no matter who you are, you're going to die.
Another really important message is if you're sick, stay home.
Nah, I don't know.
No, you should think you should go out, spread the infection.
I don't know. I want to go to Disney, man.
I mean, we're all going to die.
Everybody's going to die.
Yeah, it might not be from this.
That's table stakes.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, this is the show. talk about what are you worried about right now, Max? What's going on? What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Max left. He's it. He died. That was it.
Oh.
It's a show.
This is the doctor standing by.
I'm back.
Hey, buddy. Hey. How's it going?
Good. I had a pair of shoes delivered.
Are you going to put them in like a mudroom? Just you're going to want to have some time before you interact with those. 8 days, depending on the porousness of the material.
Did they come from China?
Well, in case we need to flee, there are some sort of tactical survival shoes, and that's in case I need to flee the city in some sort of Cormac McCarthy type situation. I have a fresh pair of shoes.
Whereas today my daughter asked if she could order some Kentucky Fried Chicken Crocs, as seen on my Bim Bam. That's not good running away shoes.
Do these shoes have zippers?
Worse. Way worse. Way worse. Way worse, Professor Ben. These are co-branded Crocs with KFC, and they look like chickens on your feet.
Oh, my gosh.
It's already Bim Bam's bit. So you got some shoes. You're going to put them in quarantine. Q-U-A-R. There are a lot of very concerning things going around from people who seem like they know what they're talking about.
Here's my feeling. I feel like this thing is going to get... Things are going to get pretty weird. You know, it frankly may not affect me personally that much because I'm not sort of in the demo that's the most at risk for this thing. But I think people are not maybe worried enough about the impact on the medical system, on supply chains, on our communities. Like, I don't know, like everyone knows someone who's going to be affected by this thing. And I don't know if it's weird. It's freaking me out. It's weird.
But it's going to get warm, and then the virus is going to go away. I heard that.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that there was the cruise ship emails that came out this morning?
Mm-mm.
No.
No what?
It was some cruise line has been advertising their cruise. They had these leaked emails. Let me see if I can find it, because it'll be funnier if I can find the real thing. Leaked cruise ship.
Did Don, did you and Ben see the thread we're talking about getting intensive on, based on what they're seeing in Italy, that ICUs could be overwhelmed in like a week?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Got an opinion?
That's what I'm worried about too. I think the risk to me is pretty low. I think the risk to the healthcare system is pretty high, and we should be concerned about that.
Also, if there's a lot of people sick all at once, like it's going to kind of affect everything. Like think of like food inspections, right? Like those are that's people's job to inspect. They have to show up to work to inspect the food, and if they're all sick at the same time, you have disruption to the supply chain of all different kinds of
unexpected meat.
Well,
FDA has said that they're pulling back on international inspections, right? Because they don't want their folks traveling. So yeah, there's knock-on effects.
Yeah, I think that my level of worry and anxiety about this is too high, because there's not really anything more I can do really. But I also feel like the society around me, the level of concern is not nearly high enough.
Well, but what is it that we want people to do, right? I mean, that it's because to just be anxious and not do anything is not helpful, right?
Yes. So I think people, yes. I think to the best of their ability, which I understand is a pretty bloated, situation right there. But to the best of their ability, people should, frankly, have already gone out and gotten the things they need to sort of stay in their house for a couple weeks, and they should be not going out. That's my feeling. Even if you live in a place where there's not, rampant community transmission of this thing, that's rampant. That's documented, right?
Well, not to turn this into a political podcast, but Max, there are people that can't afford to do that. They have to go to work to feed their families, right?
Well, listen, we own the restaurant, right? And we have some employees at the restaurant who are hourly, and I had a meeting with the senior team yesterday, and we talked about what do we do about this? Like, well, I mean, we already have like dramatically stepped up like hand washing. Like we have all, we're already doing everything we can inside of the restaurant to stop anything from spreading. But now the question is like, we're watching the news every day and we're like, do we close? Do we like wait until the government tells us to close? Like, and so I was like, one of the things that really worries me about closing is we have a lot of employees who, if they don't show up to, a dishwashing shift or whatever, they don't get paid. Like there's no, like, it's not like, oh, they'll just chill out at home for a few days. Like they need those hours and that paycheck.
So. Well, there might be people who have to go to three jobs.
Yes.
That's the bananas part, really, is in a gig economy, you're not covered for any of that. It's become cliche to say perfect storm, but we certainly have set up a set of circumstances that will expose so many of the cracks rips in our safety net.
So the idea is what we're working on right now is we're trying to understand what would it look like to pay everyone even if we close, right? To give everyone, 20 hours a week even if we close, just so people still have some income coming in. And then it's like, well, how long do we model that out for? 2 weeks, 10 days, 4 weeks? It's hard. So we're coming up with some different models. But also, our restaurant's only been open for 4 weeks. We're a little less.
That's a hell of a start.
So we're open. So we've been open for less than a month. Like our cash on hand, we're like everything, like it's going well. People are still coming in. But like, restaurants are a low margin business. So like we don't have cash on hand to like pay everyone without being open for that long. So it sucks, man. It really worries me. And you're totally right. Like we're out in front of this. We're thinking ahead. We're making plans of how to pay people. I guarantee you most businesses are not doing that. Most businesses are not thinking of what's going to happen to their employees.
Do not or cannot. I mean, that's
right. Or don't want to, right? Just be like, it's going to go away.
Well, and like we're already, everybody's up. There's so much. We had this little conversation in one of our numerous text channels where I think I was saying something along the lines of like, whenever you can't or don't or won't understand why another person's motivations are the way they are, I think there's all kinds of exercises you can do with yourself to try and not even on like a squishy liberal level, but just on a humane level, try to understand. And there's so this is straight out of Max's materialist handbook. But there's so much that happens where it's sort of coded sometimes, but you don't want to come out and say, you know what, dude, I can't afford that, like what you're proposing right now. I can't afford to do that even if everything goes flawlessly, because I have five other things that are about to break money-wise. Like, I was already late on my rent when this started. You know what I mean? You're starting out with a stress system. You're starting out with, like, anyway, I'm just saying, like, it's that's the sucky part, is a lot of people can keep it together for a while, you know, like a high-functioning alcoholic, but, like, eventually there's going to be a multi-front societal battlefield where you've got to, like, fight all these things at the same time with no resources and dinglings at the top.
Well, and, you know, one of the things I keep thinking about is Fred Rogers, right? And look for the helpers, right? Mm-hmm. And sorry, I'm going to get a little verklempt here. So look for the helpers, right? That was his mother's advice when there was scary news, right? Look for the helpers. And, you know, Ben did a webinar to 12,000 people from the National Restaurant Association yesterday, and I've been talking to people in the food industry about what to do. So, like, people are helping people, right? And Max is talking about the things that he's doing, you know, to be able to keep the restaurant open, to keep paying people. So, you know, as long as we all keep doing, and, you know, we're all sitting here doing this podcast today to try, I think, to try to help people, right? And so, you know, that gives me hope.
And to self-soothe.
Yeah, I'm doing it because I get paid on patreon.com/dubaifriday.
Yeah, give us your fucking money.
$5 a month. Yeah.
You can also go to giveusourfuckingmoney.com because some people are on the ball. You know, keep going. Looking for helpers. I mean, really, I feel like, though, we're all kind of walking around this one thing that's sort of in the middle, which is, what is, given today is Wednesday, March 11th, the year of our Lord 2020, what should we be focusing on? What should we be doing? Is there something everybody should be doing? Is there something that it's extremely important for other people to do or not do? What are we looking at right now?
Like I said before, if you're sick, stay home, right? Like, let's start with, if you can, right? Yeah. So do that. Wash your hands. That's a good idea. You should be mm-hmm. doing that anyway. Use hand sanitizer. Very effective against coronavirus. So those are some really easy, if you can find hand sanitizer, right? So sorry, it's supposed to be positive. Shit.
Yeah. My advice is, you know, panic as much as you can because you're fucked. Hey, listen, stop by giveusyourfuckingmoney.com.
Dr. Don, I've got a question for you. So I have a 102 degree fever and I'm coughing and I keep drinking the hand sanitizer and it is not doing anything.
Yeah.
I think you go to Sterno next, right? That's where you need to drink. It's that's the next logical spot.
Here was the emails. So some of these are leaked emails from.
I use the sprinklers in Ramsett Park to make sun tea.
here's the emails from the cruise that were leaking from the cruise lines. Some of the recommended responses are blatantly false. For instance, cruise bookers were instructed to tell potential customers that coronavirus is not a concern in warm Caribbean climates. Quote, the coronavirus can only survive in cold temperatures, so the Caribbean is a fantastic choice for your next cruise, one talking point res.
Was this sent by a witch doctor?
Quote, scientists and medical professionals have confirmed that the warm weather of the spring will be the end of the coronavirus, reads a second.
What?
Another line says that, quote, the coronavirus cannot live in the amazingly warm and tropical temperatures that your cruise will be sailing to.
Whoa, this is amazing.
Scientists and physicians and public health people agree it's just too shaka-bra. They'll never survive in this luxury. Come on down for the all-you-can-eat gravy fountain. We'll put a little spritz of this in your hand, and you're totally not going to die.
I made a real panicky coronavirus Twitter list that I follow that has, you know, I tried to, it is actually limited to, like, science and medical professionals, and I have, like, the CDC on there and stuff, but it's a lot of people who sort of, like, are, like, tweeting different, you know, sort of public health measures that are being taken. And I saw one yesterday that made me laugh, which was like, breaking, MGM to close buffets.
I saw that. No, not like this. Not like this. Oh, it's too late to cancel. My meat will be so dry. And the portions are small and the meat is dry.
Just to introduce a little bit of science into this conversation, I just put into the links in the doc the effects of air temperature and relative humidity on coronavirus survival on surfaces. And it is true that coronavirus survives better on cold, dry, in cold, dry environments, at least with the specific coronaviruses studied in this paper, which are not the the COVID-19 causative agent, right? And so it is actually true that warmer temperatures and higher relative humidities cause faster decline in the populations, in the concentration. So, but that doesn't mean that a cruise ship's going to be safe, right?
It's not good advertising.
Yeah. Has anyone seen that graph going around with the it's a world map, and it has different sort of bands of temperature and different colors, and it shows that all the coronavirus outbreaks are only in this one little yellow band of climate. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? No. All right, I'm going to...
Haven't seen it.
Wait, I think I did see that. And can jet fuel melt steel beams? As long as you're not in the yellow zone, you should be fine.
It was going around.
Is that on a flat Earth or a round Earth?
It's the same Earth, Dawn. Read a book.
Yeah, it's more of a disc.
Okay, turtles all the way down.
It's part of the Pratchettverse. All right.
Man, I'm never going to find this thing during the podcast, but it was interesting.
What is the go the email? Send me the email. That's very good. Where'd you get that?
Let's see. The Miami Times has it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll put it in the doc.
There's a doc?
I sent it.
Dr. Don, Professor Ben, Professor Chapman, if you were John Roddick, would you have gone on that cruise? Well, sorry, if you were fucking anybody, would you have gone on that cruise? Context.
Yeah, I know.
Joko Cruise is underway. So a bunch of dorks got on a boat for 7 days, I think on Saturday, leaving from Fort Lauderdale, going to, Church of Caicos, I think it's called? They're going to Church of Caicos. Via the Dominican Republic?
If my calendar was magically cleared and someone said, hey, you can go be on a cruise with John Roderick, I would be there.
Wow. You would do that once.
Once, yeah.
Yeah, but then...
Not enough. There is not enough money in the world to pay me to go on a cruise ship right now.
Anything. You could make me come straight for 7 days. Just gravy and cum for 7 days.
I'm not sure I can sit
in the windjammer covered in gravy getting hand jobs. And I would still have to think twice.
I actually think that's what goes on that cruise.
Oh, there's so much. Oh my God, in the showers.
I'm told that there's things happening on that cruise.
Is that the shadow cruise you're talking about, or is that the actual
Shadow Cruise?
Boom. Here we go. Check this out.
You're tuned into the Midnight Storm with Shadow Cruise.
I'm a genius. I can't believe I found this image. Look at this. This is interesting. I saw I don't know what it means, but I saw scientists posting this. So do you see how the big hot spot of outbreaks are only on this one?
In the yellow band.
In the band.
Whoa.
I don't know what that means.
Huh.
But
it certainly wouldn't be coincidental.
But I saw it was on my coronavirus Twitter list, and all the people on that list say that they're a doctor in their bio.
Right.
Well, okay. Pop quiz. Did they have a stethoscope wrapped around their neck? Did they have a comedy head mirror? And did they have a pretty white jacket with their name and MD on it?
Okay.
That's the only way. And the Chiron has to also say that they're a doctor.
Let's look at some Avies here.
Yeah, well, you know there's some fucking neckties in there.
While you're doing that, so let's dissect this graph. So first of all, there's no context and the axes are not labeled. But I mean, this kind of makes sense, right? Like if it's I don't know though. Well, you know, you have to control for population of people, right? And so I mean, I guess New Jersey's in the green zone and we have cases in New Jersey, but does that mean that there really are no cases in Mexico? I mean, you know.
It's not no cases, it's
lower cases, right?
Yeah, it's like certain, it's like outbreaks, it's like epicenter outbreaks.
But you have to factor for the quality of the public health and the ability to see the outbreak. I mean, there might be something to this, but I've got a whole lot more questions about where the data came from and what the denominators are for all
these. Is it possible that the coronavirus cannot survive in the warm Caribbean air and the exquisite luxury of the...
It survives less well, right? There's a reason why flu outbreaks
happen. Join us on the handjob, princess.
There's a reason.
The only thing you need to worry about it for your
what's
cruise.
Old is what's new.
Norovirus peaks in the winter. Flu peaks in the winter. There's probably a reason for that.
The handjob princess. Title.
Usually they put a lay on you. Not here. The only lay you're going to get is me.
We do Hello. Things a little bit differently.
I'm the Hedgehog Princess, ambassador to the Heat. First of her name. All right, Don, I'm muting. Go. I don't know why I get silly when you're on here. I'm muting. Goodbye.
Oh, come back, Merlin. It's fine. It's
come fine. Back to Jamaica. What's old is what's new. We want you to join us. War is over if you want it.
Hi, I'm Jeffrey Handjob.
Hi. I'm Handjob Princess. The Love Boat. All right, pay.
Have you guys stockpiled anything? Have you gotten a little extra of anything?
No, I really haven't. This is something that we got asked a couple of weeks ago and did a couple interviews about this. And I really think the only thing that I would worry about is, do I have enough food if I do have to go into self-quarantine for 14 days? And I think we've got like a freezer full of food already that I could get very bored of Hot Pockets and chicken nuggets by the end of it. But I'm really not stockpiling anything. I did go look for hand sanitizer to do some videos, some like outreach and education videos this week, and we couldn't find any. But yeah, I haven't really stockpiled anything. Don, have you?
No, we had a conversation about we should probably go and get a little bit more food in the house. But again, you know, my recommendation is don't buy things that you're not going to eat. I mean, Max, you and I had a text conversation about this, I think, where you were saying, yeah, I went and got a little bit more of stuff, or I went and got more of stuff that I know that I'm going to eat anyway. Like, that's sensible advice. Yes. What you don't need to do is go buy 60 days worth of food. That's probably not practical.
I went to the Jungboo market and I got a 25 pound bag of rice, and that's great because rice literally never goes bad.
It can't go bad.
Right.
As we've seen on Survivor, it can't go bad.
Can't go bad. Yeah.
And just don't let Brandon throw it all on the ground. I mean, that's just day one shit, you know?
We got extras of any sort of like medications or anything like that. And the reasoning behind that was like, let's say, you know, things continue to deteriorate and you need to, you know, go refill a prescription or whatever, you know, pick up some cold medicine or whatever. Like, I super don't want to go to a Walgreens right now.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
I am not looking forward to that. And nor do I really want to pay. I also have a lot of very complicated emotion. You know what's funny is, like, have you been seeing those? Where did I see this? Someone was like, I hired a shopper. They thought this was funny, and so they posted it. But they were like, I hired one of these, like, shopper, you know, app shoppers. And I, like, sent them out to find hand sanitizer. And they had all these funny conversations. And they were posting the, like, chat. And they were like, well, I went to 6 different grocery stores, and I couldn't find the hand sanitizer. Sorry, it's all sold out. And I was like, yeah, this sucks. Like, you're sending someone else out to get coronavirus for you. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah, totally.
Well, but here's the thing. If that person is getting paid a fair wage for doing that.
Are there no prisons, no workhouses?
That's not my point. You're twisting my words around.
You there, boy. Is it still Christmas Day? Go give me a goose.
I don't like this podcast.
Oh, my God. Charles Dickens invented the gig economy. Holy shit. He made a little boy go buy him a bird from a window. Okay, I'm muting.
It's created. He has a startup as a gooser, no E.
Please remember to like and subscribe. More? You want more? Well, I guess we'll have to call Instacart. Instacart will bring you gruel. Okay, I'll leave it alone. Okay, so real honest talk. What's going on? Oh, you know what? I bought crab legs from Costco. Had them deliver that.
I bought some frozen vegetables.
Good.
Yeah, frozen vegetables. They stay in your freezer.
Frozen vegetables.
Did you get a survival straw, Max?
Yeah, I have the Jim Baker food barrels.
Oh, just look at those chunks. Look at those chunks.
It's a system.
Is it an integrative coffee table system?
I signed up for a. So I've it's been on my to-do list for 8 years, but I really want to learn how to ride a motorcycle. And I signed, and I signed up for the, nobody messaged me about this. I'm not necessarily going to exclusively ride a motorcycle. Or
what would happen if they contact you about this, either by Twitter or email? What would happen?
Everyone in my life is already mad at me that I did this, but I signed up. But in Illinois, there's very strict.
I'll ban them for you. Just for
thank you. There's in Illinois, there's very strict like licensing requirements to drive a motorcycle. So I've signed up. I have officially enrolled in a 20-hour education course over the course of a long weekend to get my motorcycle certification so I can ride a motorcycle around.
It's probably not bad just to have in your pocket. I mean, it's a little bit like learning to drive stick, where like even if you don't need it and don't want to need it, like...
That's exactly my thought, is it seems like a cool skill to have. A one-weekend investment and just knowing how to ride it seems pretty cool. And can I show you the one? There's a motorcycle that I really like.
Well, and the advantage, Max, is if you ride your motorcycle, that increases your odds of dying from that instead of coronavirus. So
it's threat matrix. Yeah. That's so smart. I get it.
You know what? If you got to pick one.
The motorcycle's cooler.
It's just like David Simon says about The Wire, right? You know, we're all going to die in a motorcycle accident.
If it's in the game. It's in the game.
That's right.
Got to, man.
You come at the Indian motorcycle. Sorry, Native American motorcycle. You best not miss. Funny, the three people. So, what are you sending? Are you sending this to us?
Yeah, here, check this one out.
All right,
look at that
monkey.
The monkey.
Oh, the monkey. Yeah,
I like this Honda. I like these Hondas.
You got a Honda monkey. Wow, do they make these for men?
Isn't that a handsome? Oh, please, isn't that a handsome bicycle? Look at that. And this one is called
Handsome Bicycle. Start monkeying around. Everybody loves the Honda monkey.
Friend of the show Seth has been telling me about these for a long time.
That's cool.
But I super want to ride one of these around town.
Have you been ridden around on one to know whether you'll like it?
No, I have a friend who has a motorcycle who's going to take me out sometime soon.
I would very much start there personally.
Yeah.
This seems cool.
Aren't you afraid of the guys on Harleys making fun of you?
Yes, I'm very afraid of being made fun of by teenagers.
What are they going to do? Throw their oversized remote control at me?
But
70-year-old dipshits. I clean pools for a living.
But here's
we lost that demographic from the podcast now.
Limping gun.
Here's the thing: is that when the food supply is cut off to major cities and everyone needs to flee, and then they die on the highway and there's congestion, I'll be able to zip around.
Oh, you can do lane splitting.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
I'll be able to zip around the corpse littered, you know, SUVs on the highway in my Honda Super Cub.
You're going to be Daryl. You're going to be Walking Dead Daryl.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I don't get that reference, but he seems cool. He seems like a cool guy.
He's a very cool guy. Norman Reedus. I have a Christmas ornament of him because I'm a baller. Other things to think about. Yeah, you know, we talked about this. We recorded Syracuse Center recorded Rectus last night. We were, of course, talking about this, and I think we were in agreement about this. Remarking about how two things as always. There's the complexity of the you can't really cancel school because then is mom not going to go to work? Mom's going to stay home. Well, yeah, I get that. If we had our druthers, we could all just go live in a bubble for 2 weeks and everything would be fine. But also in hearing the guy from Virginia yesterday announcing that he was going to self-quarantine, and they described how, forgive me if you're in the future and hear Brechtiffs, but talking about how he said basically, you guys don't know who I'm talking about, the congressman. He says, my wife and I were contacted by the Virginia Department of Health to say that we had been in contact with somebody who had been diagnosed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I was in a lift on my way to pick up my kid, looking at my phone, and that's when it really kind of landed on me of okay, something so obvious to everyone else but me is the two-headed hydra of this, which on the one hand is if we minimize our exposure, an interesting thing happens. First of all, if we don't have it, we're less likely to get it. And if we do have it, we're less likely to pass it on. But guess what else? Yep. Here's the other part. This is the part that really landed heavy on my head was the okay, you guys, let's do this. How about each of us? We'll establish some criteria, and you tell me every single person you've met over the last 2 weeks so we can contact them. Because we need to contact them to find out where you got it from and who you gave it to. So, did you, go to, Aunt Annie's Pretzels 9 days ago? For how long? Who was there? You know what I'm saying? It's just that it really landed on me that, we're not only keeping this from people getting it, people spreading it, but we're also going to potentially make it, for an epidemiologist, make it so much less difficult to be able to trace. So you see, like, okay, where you been? Well, for the last 6 days, I've just been at home eating crab legs. Awesome. You just saved me so much time. I don't have to go and, like, ask somebody to pick up the white courtesy phone, you know?
Yep.
Does that make sense? Like, yeah. Am I getting that right? I feel like that explains a lot of, like, how we're fucking this up so hard already.
No, it absolutely does. And by limiting all these social interactions, we're really trying to make sure that we slow this whole thing down and make it easier for sharing information. I mean, this is, yeah, I mean, I think you nailed exactly the public health response on where it's at right now. It's not about whether you're going to get it. It's exactly what happens in the community.
Yeah. That's the public in public health.
Yep. Yes.
Now, I've heard a lot from the fake news Democrats about the...
I call them dummycrats.
The dummycrats, about how they're using the coronavirus hoax, just like the impeachment hoax, to impugn...
That's what it's Russia all over again.
Exactly. To impugn the name, the good name of President Donald J. Trump. Can you guys, to the best of your ability, could you... I honestly don't really know... I understand that people on Twitter are mad about how the Trump administration has handled coronavirus, but I do not really know enough to know if they're doing a good job or a bad job, or if there's more that they could be doing. Could you guys comment on that?
Well, I'm almost completely off Twitter, so but I'll, yeah.
You win this one, Shafter.
You know, I'm just trying to educate people about public health. I'm trying to help people.
You just want to get a motorcycle and be left alone.
Zip, zip, zip.
So, I mean, I think that, you know, the people that know about this are at the CDC, and they should get funding, and they should be allowed to, like,
Fauci talk. Right? Get everyone else off the goddamn dais, because you shouldn't be touching each other anyway. Let Fauci talk.
And I saw there was some sort of an infographic going around about top Twitter influencers on coronavirus. And you know who is at the top of the list, and it does not give me hope, right? I mean, how about we let the experts talk about what they're expert about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. This.
But I've heard that a lot of people have said to Trump, how does he know so much about this? He's a genius.
Mm-hmm. He had an uncle at MIT.
Very Many stable.
People are saying that.
Very stable.
Very stable.
It's, well, you know, there's all kinds of flavors to this. I'll tell you one thing, boys. One thing you learn in life is I don't want to say you pick your fights in life. You minimize the number of unnecessarily hostile interactions that you have with people. I believe that I should try to save my powder, keep my powder dry for the times I really need to use it. So if, for example, you were to call a beloved family member just to check in and find out that the good news is they're doing great. The awesome news is it's because of their Young Living essential oils that they're using.
Yeah, or their silver solutions.
So you're talking about colloidal silver, Ben? Is that what you're talking about? Colloidal silver?
Am I ever?
Don't I make my white face blue? balls deep in cryptocurrencies. Hi, I'm Robert Ethereum, and I feel great.
The thing about Twitter is, like, it doesn't. I mean, I try to be helpful, right? Like, look for the helpers, right? I try to be helpful.
Yes.
But if somebody is tweeting out that you have to use soap and water and that hand sanitizer is not effective against coronavirus, and you know that's wrong, is it really helpful for you to wade into their mentions and try to correct people? I'm not so sure that it is, right? So, I declined to get involved in that.
God, I have heard just socially, or, like, maybe even, like, overhearing people's conversations at the restaurant, just, like, Not even on Twitter. I'm talking about, like, in real life. I've heard people do not know what the fuck they're talking about.
No, absolutely.
I mean, I do.
Well, yeah.
But everyone else.
Yeah.
Well, who was I talking to about this? I was talking to somebody about, it must have been Syracuse. Have you guys run into this yet? Well, first of all, everybody, I feel like of the widespread ding-a-ling-ism in America, one that I actually do encounter on the reg, even more than casual racism, like even more than lots of things, one of the ding-a-ling-isms that I run into a lot is vaccine stuff. There are a lot of people who are not doing vaccines for their kids. And so there's a population of those folks who are doing that for the Jenny McCarthy sort of reasons. But my favorite, have you guys gotten this yet? The person who sort of sidles up to you and they're like, you know, just so you know, I'm not one of those crazies. Like, yeah, we don't do vaccines, but the reason I'm not doing it is for religious or philosophical reasons. Not for those crazy reasons. No, it doesn't cause autism, but it does make your kid grow horns like Jew, you know, or whatever. Like, you come up with, you know what I'm saying, though? Have you encountered the kind who's like, listen, I'm not that kind of crazy. I'm so crazy, I'm sane. Because, like, I really get this. And that's, when you encounter that a lot, what I'm trying to say is whether that's your beloved elderly mother or whether that's your Lyft driver, there is a funny mishmash of affability, and you really get this when you meet Trump people. You forget that they're just regular Americans in almost every conceivable way. But there's this impossible combination of affability and horror to talking to these people. Where it's Max, you've talked about this when somebody starts telling the racist jokes in the Lyft, and you're like,
the one that that boggles my mind is, I'm not talking about the four of us or really probably anyone in most of the people in our like first order social circles. But if you get out of our little bubble a little bit into like more normie sort of America, you know, occasionally I'll be like at a party and I'll just meet some hanging out with normie people or whatever. Not, you know.
The kind of people you would meet at like at a work picnic. Or
yeah,
something.
just regular people. And you get into their talking about politics with them. Their political belief, the constellation of things that are important to them in politics are absolutely contradictory and incoherent. They're like, I support Tulsi Gabbard because, well, number one, you have to know I'm anti-circumcision. But number two, yeah. I do support tort reform, but I'm against the war in Afghanistan. But I do think that we should do regime change in Iran. And you're like, what in the, what are you talking about? Like, where?
I thought MGM closed the buffet.
And yeah. And it's like, well, I heard one episode of the Joe Rogan podcast and I read this one book and I saw this one article and they've like cobbled together an entire worldview of this sort of grab bag. I mean, that's like most Americans.
Yep. But do you ever worry that that is also your worldview, but you are so inside it, you can't figure it out?
I worry about it constantly. How would you know?
So I think about it. I think about it all the time, obviously. Like, how do I know what I know? And also, I have like my philosophy background, so you're just constantly thinking, like, well, how do I know that? Is that the right thing to think? But also, like, there is a way to be deliberate about having a political.
So, just so you know, somebody has deliveries coming. Just so you know.
That's me. That's my shoes. Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
I know the delivery sound.
I thought you already got your shoes.
Merlin, I feel like I just shot up a little bit. I just got a little dopamine.
I feel like you just live viewed your balls. Your dildo is out for delivery. Your dildo case is out for delivery. Your dildo lubricant is out for delivery. Exception.
I don't know.
Your dildo is missing.
I think you can have. I think it is possible to have a set of coherent political beliefs. I think there's issues I believe in that I think are like a part that make sense with like an internally consistent worldview that go to like. Speak to like my views of human nature and economics, and it all makes sense as a system. And then you could say, okay, well, maybe some of my like priors. I mean, this is true for anyone, right? Like, maybe the stuff I know about the world is really wrong. And what can I do? I read as much as I can, and you try update as much as you. Listen, can I give you a really good example of like was reading? I had really worked myself into a lot of concern about this animal. You know, the Trump changing the pork inspection thing,
right?
Mm-hmm. And I talked to you guys about it, and you gave me new information that I didn't know, and I upped it, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to care too much about this.
Good.
And you know what? I eat pork, and I haven't gotten sick, so.
Well, and I mean, the problem is that we don't live in, it's all about the probabilities with the flu thing. We don't live in a world of absolutes, right? Like, I was having a conversation with a reporter about, like, well, what if the server is sick with coronavirus and they put their thumb on the plate and then I touch the plate and I'm like, look, here's the thing. If you're in a restaurant and somebody next to you sneezes, that has a higher chance of giving you coronavirus than yeah. some transfer from somebody's finger onto a plate. And I can explain to you why I think that based on the work that we've done on cross-contamination and the limited knowledge I have about how the virus is spread. But, you know, yeah, sure, there's risk everywhere. But you have to, you know, have to pick your choices.
You drive me crazy with this sometimes, Don, but I think it's actually incredibly useful. And there's that phrase that I think was Fauci or somebody. You used the word earlier. Denominator. So much stuff where we've got a numerator and we're like, oh, we're real clear about the numerator as we stand here today, but we have no fucking idea what the denominator is. And I feel like that, I don't say that constitutes everything, you know, but a lot of what you're saying to people is, well, okay, you know, how much risk are you going to give to this today, Dr. Donald Schaffner, distinguished professor? 7.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. We've been talking to Dr. Donald Schaffner of Rutgers University. He gives the current, his threat assessment of the current state is 7. Thank you, doctor. That'd be so great.
All right, I'm working on an idea about that. So how about, what do you think of this? I also think, so here's the other thing I've been thinking about, and this is related also to the idea of, like, how do you know your political beliefs are, you know, well-informed or so on and so forth. I also think, like, this is a thing that's, like, you find in sort of liberal, like, educated liberal circles, is this idea that, like, all your beliefs should be, like, empirically derived, and, like, what's your data for believing, you know, if you're like, yeah, I think people should be able to get food stamps, or, you know, kids should be able to afford, and they're like, well, what's your data that this is so and so and so and so? Like, I've really been feeling in recent years that, like, maybe that's not the most important thing to me, and that actually, like, I've been interested in, like, simple moral truths, and, like, the idea that, like, nobody should be hungry. And if you have some data that shows that maybe some people should be hungry, I'm not that interested. I don't know.
Oh, that's a really good way to put it. Yep. Oh my God.
Yep. I mean, yes. I'm not that interested. Yep. Like, it's yep. just, I think that you can sort
well, it's
of...
Like, it's like when people are like, oh, you guys are so funny, Do by Friday, why don't you have a flat earth person on? And I think you would entertain that idea. And I had several levels of reaction to it. One is, haha, lol. And the other one was like, actually, that would, you know, I guess that would be funny. Another one is like, oh shit, I might lose an argument to them.
Yeah.
It's like arguing right. with Cory Doctorow. It does not matter whether he is correct or not. He will beat the shit out of you in an argument.
Because he's good
and
at
I
arguing.
Have a lot of friends yeah. like this. Roderick is like this. It doesn't matter whether Roderick... I don't argue with Roderick because I've had arguments with him. You can't win an argument with Roderick because he will just pound you into the ground until you're sad. And, like, there's, you know, there's certain kinds of things where you're like, ah, I guess I just... I'm going to have to just be okay with this little bit of uncertainty or potential hypocrisy because I can't address every single one of these things all the time, every day, with everybody. See also internet.
But also, Merlin, Ben and I don't have a Patreon, but we do have another podcast, and I do want to mention it here, and I want to again publicly thank you, Merlin, for the idea for Risky or Not.
What is happening right now? Is this a takeover? Is this a prank? Is this an intervention?
It's a crossover.
What the fuck are you doing, Don? What is happening?
I'm thanking you. I'm thanking you.
It sounds
Merlin.
Like you're promoting your show. It doesn't
I
sound
am.
Like you're thanking
I am.
Me.
I am. But I'm thanking you.
Oh, well, thank you. Hey, listen, you guys, I do a podcast with Dan Benjamin called Back to Work.
Dr. Don is going to endorse...
for some reason, I'm mentioning it.
He's going to endorse Joe Biden live on our network.
Right here. I hereby
hey,
endorse.
Hey, listen, Mac. You get down there on top of that, and you're going to have yourself a pancake fight. And I'm not talking about bicycle. You come with a side of pickles, girls? Hey, listen, Mac. You're full of shit. Okay, new kind of narking on people. Okay, first of all, I was talking to an internet pal this morning. How fucking annoying it is when you're talking about something and you're obviously, obliquely, definitely leaving out, I guess you could call it, what's the phrase they use on Twitter? You're subtweeting. But, like, you specifically don't need to invoke this celebrity to have this conversation. If I wanted to invoke the celebrity, I would have included the handle. And then some fucking ding-a-ling narc comes along.
They're snitch-tweeting.
Huh?
They're snitch tweeting.
Okay. Oh, that's good. All right. Yeah. I guess that's a millennial term. I didn't know. But somebody comes along and goes, oh, you know, at Warehouse Cumface 35 is going to learn about this. And you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, why did you do that? I feel like there's other sorts of narking like that goes on right now. And you know what? I'm going to shut up now. I'm ahead.
Can I? All right. Let me finish up.
Did you guys get the logo? Did the logo arrive?
That's very funny.
Love the logo.
I have my theory about, let me finish up my theory here about this, like, sometimes you just go with your gut thing of, like, you know, one of those for me also is, like, healthcare of, like, I just have decided to believe that all people should have free healthcare, and I'm sure there's some data out there that people who think that only some people should have healthcare are using, you know, they have some numbers that supports their position, and I just don't care what their numbers say. It's just my I've just decided what I believe about it. I think there something to the idea of, like, of something like when you're reading about, like, a public health risk of something like coronavirus, and you're getting lots of mixed messages and confusion from, you know, like, the media and government officials and stuff like that, where, like, at a certain point, if you get concerned, you should just sort of trust your gut.
Can you give me a specific example?
Yeah, like, don't go out if you're worried about coronavirus.
Oh, could it also, I mean, you're talking also about the realm of potentially, like, home remedies or like, something where you feel like there's an on-the-bubble question of, well, no, like, a sort of a Dr. Don type of thing of, like...
Home remedies more stray into medical advice, which most people don't know. I guess what I'm saying is, like, every message I'm receiving from the media and the government is, like, everything is fine, you go out, go about your life normally. But my gut says I probably should be staying in as much as possible.
So mostly stay at home, as against I will not even open the door, I'm sealing all the windows. Like, if you look at a continuum...
Yeah, I'm, like, going out, I'm going to work and stuff, but...
No, you know, see what I'm saying, though? Like, but, like, an amount of, like, what is a sane... if we do an actual risk assessment and look at orders of magnitude, or however you guys phrase it these days, you look at, like, the amount of actual risk, which I think is a very important Don and Ben thing that I love to hear about, because it is often a turns out thing that's very interesting and surprising. But, like, on the one hand, no, like, you probably do not want to go lick a railing on the Handjob Princess, which is a great Kenny Rogers song. But on the other hand, you don't need to duct tape your windows shut and not even, like, use the phone, right? You don't want to get into a Howard Hughes type situation. That's going to be unwholesome in its own way, right?
Yeah, I think there are some of these gut feeling absolutes that are out there. And Don and I, we've talked a little bit about this in the past. One of them, I think, is around Sprouts. So this food safety issue where we've had, like, multiple outbreaks with raw sprouted seed foods, from a gut standpoint, it's a food that I avoid based on my history of reading about all this stuff. And really, at this point, it doesn't matter what kind of data you can show me. It's going to be something that I avoid. There are mechanisms to reduce the risk of eating that type of food, but that's an absolute for me. That sounds like what you're getting at, Max. And I think Don's got a different take. We're looking at the same sources of information, but I don't think you have that same kind of absolute that I do.
Well, and what I would say with respect to the staying home, I figure out a way to phrase it that tells the people why you're doing it. Like, we know that you can get coronavirus from other people. So the more that you're not
so
around
smart.
Other people
yes.
is good. So if you can, stay home, right? But obviously you can't.
But don't guess why I'm suggesting this.
Right.
Let me tell you why. We don't want to XY this. I want you to understand why washing your hands works in this instance, right?
Well, right. Right, and again, the conversation with the reporter about the waitress or the waiter person putting their thumb on the plate, it's like, well, let me tell you, yes, this is my answer, but let me tell you why, and let me tell you about, as I think about probabilities of transfer, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and I had a conversation with a reporter about similar things, about going to a grocery store and, you know, recommendation that I hadn't been making about grocery stores and hot bars and buffets changing out their utensils every 15 minutes or every 20 minutes, whatever, depending on how many people are going through. And the reporter was like, yeah, but what about the apples? And it totally like floored me. I was like, what do you mean? I don't understand the question. What do you mean? What about the apples? It's like, well, people are going to walk into a grocery store and you know, you do this. You walk through and you grab three or four apples, and what if you've got coronavirus? And then all of a sudden, all those apples in the apple section are contaminated with coronavirus, and it's an apple outbreak. And I was like, well, it doesn't really work like that. Like the very transaction of the buffet is every time someone scoops it out, they have to use that utensil. Not everybody is going to touch every apple. And yeah, there might be one person that touches 16 apples. The likelihood of that person being a carrier shedding the virus, mm-hmm. that's got to factor into it. And the fact that it doesn't then end up like in my stomach, you know, there's a lot of it really is a denominator question, and not all these things are knowledge.
So don't eat apples is the what I'm taking away from this.
Right. What about the apples?
I would, well, I mean, just out of an abundance of caution, I would say avoid any kind of fruit, red things, roundish things.
What about when you guys, you know how you go to the grocery store and you pop a few, you go to the olive bar, you pop a few olives, maybe you'll pop off a few grapes.
I think they're encouraging you. They want you to try a couple.
Yeah, it's built into their model. It's a write-off.
It's priced in. I think it's a write-off.
Yeah.
It's a lost leader.
Kramer, do you know what a write-off is?
Well, here's the thing. Because we can't rule out the possibility of coronavirus being transmitted by food, we should just all stop eating food until the outbreak is over.
Abundance of caution. Now you're speaking my language.
I like this. I like this. Finally, I have a medical reason to go to a doctor and say, could you put me to sleep for 1 year, please and thank you. Just one contiguous year of sleep. I just put me somewhere mostly safe. Put me in Syracuse's attic in the original box. Let me just go there. 1 year. Nobody fucking bothers me for 1 year.
I think if you could pick any year in your life where if you had been put to sleep for a period of 365 days and you woke up, what would be the most confusing period of history to have slept through? 2016 is certainly a contender, right? You go to sleep during the Obama administration. You wake up, fucking Donald Trump is president, and there's Nazis in the streets. And you're just like, what the fuck happened?
Mitt Romney's the reasonable one.
Yeah. Post Malone is making number one singles. Democrats have a higher opinion of Mitt Romney and George W. Bush than Republicans do.
Oh, and also, you know, you got Sonic the Hedgehog with those crazy teeth.
I think my hunch is that if you were to go to sleep right now for 1 year and you woke up in March 11th, 2021, you would be very confused. I mean, who knows what the hell that's going to look like, but I just feel like this is a very, you know, it's going to be a weird year.
There was somebody, who is it? It might have been Jenny O'Dell was saying like, I feel so bad for these, you know, college seniors that like are going to be denied probably their school play, like if they're in theater, you know, there's all these different kinds of things. But they were talking in particular at UCSB and UC Santa Barbara and like what that this particular class has been through in those 4 years, right? Because they've been through fires twice. They've been through coronavirus. They've been through like there's just so much shit from the very time that they arrived. I would have slept through college if I could. Sleepy Adams, yeah.
I think I did sleep through most of college.
I wasn't sleeping, but I was otherwise occupied.
Oh.
Ooh, that's.
Ooh, are you a handjob princess?
What?
Because here's the thing. When you go to the Windjammer, there's always a lady or a dude standing there with... And like, so you don't get the norovirus. You guys deal with that. There's always somebody there squirting on your hands. Now, here's what I always think about, as you know, Don, and as you know, Max, and as you probably know, Ben, is I think about, like, who watches The Watchmen. So I'm thinking about, where's that thing been? Like, how do I know if that sanitizer has been in some German's butt, let alone your hands? Like, you think about that and the way stuff gets passed around. Think about those filthy faucets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or if that sanitizer came from some kids in Missouri who were selling it at $3 a bottle just on the side of the road.
Or a prisoner making 65 cents an hour who's not allowed to use hand sanitizer.
Look at...
Oh, God, I'm ready to go to sleep now.
You guys want to see what I just got?
Yes.
Yes.
Look at this shit. This is not the one we got. We got it. We got this from Ecolab, which is like our... Do you know them?
Did you get an autoclave? Autoclave? Did you get an autoclave?
You know we can't actually see you, Max.
No, I know. I'm sending it in the chat.
Look. Okay.
So, chat. Do you guys know Ecolab?
Yeah.
Yes.
They sell the chemical cleaner setup in our restaurant, right?
I was at a meeting with them this week.
They're a very good company, and they also catch all the rats in our construction site.
oh, you have them at your restaurant? Yes, of course.
Yeah. When we were under construction, we had Ecolab was just catching rats left and right. It was great. All right. Anyway,
so where do you put this? So what we're looking at here is that Max has sent us.
So Ecolab is furnishing us with some sinks like this, some portable sinks.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we're going to put them in the entrance of the restaurant and request that everyone wash their hands before they come in.
Love it.
That's nice. I like it. Yes.
Do they get to pick? Do they get to play Spotify or pick their own hand washing song? Like in the lift?
That's not a bad idea.
Do you guys support? Do you guys support this? So yeah. Here's my. You yeah. know what? What sure. The way that we on. I hope it's. I hope I'm. It's not bad to say this on the podcast, but we had a conversation about it, and we had a meeting, a very high, like a high level, like we got all the heads of all the, you know, departments of the restaurant together, and we had our big coronavirus, you know, sort of meeting of like what are we doing and all that. And we kind of divided the meeting into two sections, which is section number one, what are the actual things that we are going to do to maintain, you know, food safety and guest safety, you know, all the time. But then there's the second thing of what are we going to do so that people feel safe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to do restaurant theater.
It's a little bit, exactly. We literally talked about it. It's like going through TSA. There's some things that actually make the airplane safe, and there's something that makes the travelers the
bucket,
feel safe.
The bucket of explosive water.
And
sorry, you have more than 3 ounces. You have more than 3 ounces. We need to put it in this bucket with the other potential explosives.
I don't know. I'm curious, you know, Dr. Ben and Professor, Dr. Don and Professor Ben, Professor Chapman, what you guys think if this is, I would put this more in the category of it will make people feel a little safer coming in if they know that everyone else has washed their hands. But I'm curious what you think in terms of actual, you know, risk reduction.
Well, if you really wanted to reduce risk, Max, you should be taking people's temperatures and then not let them come in if they're running a fever, right? So, but
are we legally allowed to do that?
That's a good question.
I think there might be some Fourth Amendment issues.
Yeah. But as a feel good thing, it's fine. I like this. I also like places that give me opportunity to use hand sanitizer when I walk in, right? Like, and especially now, but even before,
I think the ship has sailed on that.
Well, I'm just saying, someday when we're allowed to have sanitizer again. But no, this is there's probably some risk reduction. It's not huge. Better to keep the sick people out of your restaurant. But mm-hmm. It can't hurt, Max. It can't hurt.
Yeah, and I think that there's some restaurant theater here that actually leads to people being a little more mindful about things. Like maybe they weren't going to wash their hands when they came in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, everybody's sitting there noticing for the first time in their lives, noticing dudes actually not only washing their hands, but potentially waiting in line to wash their hands. Cause there's so much, like, for example, the obvious one, you don't want to be the person who goes, right? So like there's social pressure not to be that guy. Maybe just slightly less social pressure is like, you do not want to be the guy who shits all over his hand and then goes back to watching the movie. Like you need to be in there demonstrating good public health, right?
Yeah. There's some peer pressure.
And as you said before, Merlin, it's public health. Like we're working to make everybody more healthy or keep everybody safe.
Yes.
I have a question. I have a hand washing question. I am washing my hands so much throughout the day now. And especially when I'm at the restaurant, that my hands are like irritated.
Right.
Is that, do you guys have products that you recommend or
that's
like
chappy? Yeah. Well, so you're
yeah, they're getting chapped, right?
Yeah. You're chappy. Probably washing your hands too much. If that's a thing, I know you might not agree
especially if I'm at the restaurant, so people want to take a picture with me or they want to shake my hand and I just wash my hands afterwards.
Yep.
I don't want to touch food. I don't want to touch other people.
Well, I would say in those instances, Max, surely you have some sanitizer stockpiled. You should do that.
I don't, actually. I don't have hand sanitizer. I do not use hand sanitizer.
After you bought all of that? Anyway, so this was, again, advice given in a recent newspaper interview or magazine interview. If you find a moisturizer that you like and then use that, right? Find one that feels good on your hands, that smells good, that you know that you'll use, and then just use that to keep your hands healthy. But I don't have a specific brand I recommend.
Can I ask a question? And then we should get to the after show soon. I have a question. I feel like I saw a thing about, so everybody knows, you got to get an N95, you got to glove up, scrub in, got to do all the things. I saw a thing about like a lot of people have enough training to know to wear this equipment. They don't have enough training to know how to take it off without contaminating themselves. Is that a thing?
Turns out.
Is that true? That like when you take off, if you take off a mask like fucking Meredith Grey and just chuck it across the room into like a bath stick.
Well, you're emotional.
You're very emotional. And eventually you're going to have intercourse with everyone on the show, including Derek's sister. Everybody's just going to be having sex with each other, chock-a-block, until you die in a car accident. I remember you. So is it true that if you take off your stuff wrong, you can make yourself another sick? Have you ever heard of that?
I'll let Ben talk in a minute. I have not seen the mask story you're talking about, but I know we did some research a number of years ago with gloves, and what we found is that gloves are not perfect, and we don't know exactly why we didn't. I mean, obviously they can have holes in them, but a lot of it is how you put on and take off those gloves. So for sure, there's ways of doing it wrong. I would definitely agree with that.
What's like? If you think of it this way, if you think about like, okay, so the nice way to phrase this, and I'll let you talk after this, Ben. But the nice way to put this is, if you've ever worked on a car or anything, or like, you know, fixed a lawnmower or like something, you know, that feeling of like your hands literally being covered in grease, right? We're like, so like, imagine how you would like, oh shit, I need to really piss. I need to go to the bathroom. What am I going to do? Like, think about if your hands were covered with grease, or let's put it a different way. Let's say your hands were literally covered with shit. For whatever reason, something went, uh-oh, whoopsie doopsie, and now my hands are covered in something. Imagine how you would, before you even get to how you would open the door, let's get to how you would wash your hands. Like, think plaque tablet level, right? Like, right. If your hands were literally covered in grease and you didn't want to screw up your beautiful house, you'd have to wash your hands so well. And even if you wore gloves, you'd have to take the gloves off. Are you following me on this?
Yep.
Like if the thing is, because you can't see microbes and shit, you assume, well, I'm a good boy. I rub my thumb in soapy water and now I'm clean.
It's you like, need the scissors to open the scissors.
This literally happened this week. I got a new Japanese package opening knife and I couldn't open it. Boy, you know what? You guys love public health. You guys are so gay bones for public health. Make it so that all of these terrible clamshell things, they should be banned as well. It could be all part of an omnibus.
They have an emergency room code for someone who injures themselves opening one of those. It's an actual literal code when you walk into an emergency room.
You're kidding.
No.
Like amber or pink or code blue, crash cart, that kind of thing?
No, like this is just like a number. Like that's, oh, you have a package.
He's a bad clamshell boy.
Yeah.
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 Okay, so anyway, that was my thought. Ben?
Yeah.
Fix this up here.
I wish I could, but I don't. So I do a lot of research in training. I do a lot of research in behavior. And even though we can train people up, they don't always know exactly what it means. And the training that we create for people might actually not be effective, and it might not even meet them where they need to learn stuff. And I think that's all part of it, right? Like, we can come up with like 30 or 40 different ways to do this. It's a human behavior issue. And, you know, just like falling asleep through most of college, I can put someone through training and maybe they get the first 4 minutes about how to put it on correctly, but they get kind of bored by the end and say, whatever, I'll figure it out and I'll just pull it off.
I got the gist.
Yeah. And that's
heart surgery, smart surgery.
Whatever. So I just need to open them up. I'll figure out how to close them up later. And that's the PPE training issue. It's the same with hand washing. It's the same with using a thermometer.
Did you say PP training?
PPE.
Personal protective.
Oh, equipment. That's an entirely different matter.
PP. Yeah. That's on the cruise. That's
something you do with a dog.
That's from the cruise ship. I mean, I don't
know. For cruises.
I don't know. I think the one thing, if we step back from this, learning stuff from this outbreak, I think we'll probably have increased hand washing for a while, and then people will just go back to sleep and act like they normally did all of a sudden when it's not a headline. That's my cynical look.
And next year it'll be flu season and nobody will be doing any of the great stuff that we did this year. You know, with all this nonsense that
it's going to warm up a lot, Don.
Well,
it's
going to get hot soon. It'll get cold again next year. But I really wonder, like, with all of this that we're doing to prevent coronavirus, we should see a significant impact on flu, right? That would be really interesting
to look at. That's what they say.
Dr. Don, they have in South Korea, China, countries where they've like, you know, that thing everyone's talking about, flatten the curve or whatever?
Yep, yep.
They've also seen that with flu season, like just dramatic reduction in flu.
Yeah.
Well, this was like a 50% year for the vaccine, right? They got about 50% right with the vaccine?
I think it was better than last year.
But still, it was like better than last year, but imperfect, but that it would at least ameliorate the side effects. You really want to work on that PP training.
PPP training.
Do you guys know? I want to get to our challenge, which was the autoclave.
What?
The autoclave.
Oh,
the thing that we bought.
Phone
soap. Is this still the show? We still got to do an after show.
Oh shit! Well, I have a couple of quick questions. Do you
the
guys
thing
know
is you peter
about?
Off and you usually dip when the show starts. Hey everybody! Don't scratch your asshole.
Do you guys know anything about vaccines?
Jesus Christ! Let me die.